Blog Talk Radio.
This is the USA Emergency Broadcasting Network, your source for reliable disaster preparedness information.
The 21st century seems to be one emergency after another. The 9/11 attacks, anthrax attacks, hurricanes Katrina, Hugo, and Andrew, tornadoes in the Midwest, earthquakes, and superstorm Sandy. It's not only tested us, but it's made it painfully evident that American readiness is inadequate at best, especially when it comes to communications. One of the major problems with our readiness program is the lack of communications between first responders and the general public. This was particularly evident with the 9/11 system collapse during the Washington, D.C. earthquake and the near failure of the 9/11 system during Hurricane Sandy. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Broadcasting has teamed up with other emergency organizations, both government and non-government, to create a new informational source to bring the American public reliable, verifiable emergency information. We call it USA Emergency Broadcasting Network, USAEBN.org. Common Sense Preparedness will be the flagship of this new network and will bring you the information that's needed during times of disasters. As usual, we will not talk about politics or conspiracy theories. Our focus will be on bringing you reliable, accurate information to help you prepare for and respond to any type of disaster that you might face, whether it's natural, man-made, or personal. During times of disaster, USA Emergency Broadcasting Network will operate a virtual emergency operations center in order to receive emergency information and distribute it to the general public. A live, pre-recorded radio station will also be broadcasting this information on various internet radio sites, as well as on our website, usaebn.org. For more information, visit usaebn.org. You've got asthma, diabetes, a heart condition. Maybe you're taking prescription medications, but now you're in a car accident. And if you're unable to communicate or just confused by the shock of being in an accident, how will EMTs or paramedics know how to treat you? Introducing the Emergency Seatbelt ID from the MediPal company. This easy-to-use ID system wraps around your seatbelt where first responders will be quick to spot it. Inside, it contains a document with all the information first responders need to take care of you immediately and appropriately. If you want first responders to know you have an ongoing medical condition, food or medication allergies, your blood type, and who to contact in the event of an emergency, then you need an emergency seatbelt ID from the MediPal company. To order one for $14.95 or for more information, please visit our website at MediPal.com. That's MediPal.com.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to Common Sense Preparedness, an American readiness program. I wanted to start today off by talking a little bit about our alerts that we've had during the week. We've had a very busy week. We had the Valentine's Day go on, the asteroid 2012 DA-14 come towards us. And we had a couple meteorite strikes, one in Cuba and one in Russia. And we had some food safety issues going on. But before, one of the biggest things we've had is, and it's today, and I want to send out a very happy birthday to Patricia, one of the followers of USA Emergency Broadcasting Network from the very beginning. And I wanted to wish her a happy birthday and let her know that thanks for all the help and support she's given us. Now, on to some of the other stuff that we've had go on this week. Very busy week. Wow. The biggest news that was going on was the meteorite that was coming, the asteroid, 2012 DA14. It came and passed us like it was predicted to do, with no problems. And NASA pretty much called that one right on. However, same day, a couple hours prior to it, we had two meteor strikes on Earth, one in Russia, one in Cuba. Now, the Cuba one is not very known due to their political climate. Information coming out of Cuba is very scarce, so it's even hard to confirm that they did have a meteor strike. We do believe they did, so we are reporting it. Now, the one in Russia is being well documented. I've seen some of the early videos coming out of Russia, and the one thing that surprised me, now, and I was corrected on our emergency alert that went out earlier, we have meteorite strikes almost every other day on Earth, but they're small. They're a pebble size, a football size, stuff like that, so not much damage is done. The only large damage we ever had in recent history was in 1908, and actually in the same country, Russia, had a meteorite strike that devastated trees and stuff like that. But back in those days, we didn't have much on mass communications and all that kind of stuff, so it took us a while to figure out what had happened. This one was very well documented. This is the first time we were able to document a meteorite strike and what happens and all that stuff. The one thing that got me curious was, earlier in the week, I had sent out information about, you know, if a meteorite strike does occur, this is how we prepare for it, somewhat of a volcanic atmosphere. The one thing I did not recognize or realize until we started seeing some of the videos was the sonic boom that hits prior to any type of impact. Because you got to figure, this meteorite, this asteroid, it's coming in fast, thousands and thousands and thousands of miles per hour. So it's going to cause a sonic boom. Well, the one in Russia caused such a sonic boom, it broke windows miles away. And people got hurt. I think the last report I saw was over 1,100 hurt, injured, because of falling glass. Meteorite did not strike them. It actually fell into a area that was unpopulated. I think it was a lake bed. And The curious thing, though, was the sonic boom. We never thought about that. Now, sitting back, you know, hindsight, yeah, that makes sense, perfect sense. Sonic boom's going to come out. What's going to happen with the sonic boom? So we failed on our preparedness position by not talking about sonic boom. So something we need to put into our preparedness information and our preparedness manuals. If we are looking at a meteor strike, we want to make sure we're prepared for a sonic boom and the ramifications of a sonic boom. So, you know, and that goes into, if you're by glass, don't go by there. If you're in an office building, and I've seen this video too, if you're in an office building, don't go and stare. I'm sorry. Personally, I was watching those videos that was coming out of Russia yesterday. If I started seeing a streak of light coming out of the sky, honestly, my first impression probably would have been it's a nuclear weapon, and I would have started to run and hide. That should have been anybody's first impression. Run and hide and figure it out later. What did most people do? Get their video camera, start videotaping it. If they were in a building, go to the window and start looking at it and watching it. What happens? With the sonic boom, breaks all those windows. And I saw some of the people get pushed back from the overpressure of the air. So, I mean, honestly, think about it. If you're standing there, average morning, and all of a sudden you see this streak of light coming out of the sky, time to hide. Be prepared to run and hide. And that's where situational preparedness comes around. You know, what's your situation about? Where's a good hiding spot? What if this were to happen? Where am I going to go with this? You know, how can I get out of my car and hide in a ditch and stuff like that? Just until it's over, because then we can figure out what happened. So, we learn it. This is a learning process, a learning curve for everything. Now, I'm a professional emergency responder, so, you know, I've seen a lot of this devastation and all that stuff, and this was even a a new one for me. So you're not an expert. There's really no experts in this field. We had one of our programs go into that the other day with one of our callers. This is not a, I'm an expert, I know it all, because you don't. Every day, I've got over 25 years experience in this field, and every day I'm learning something new from everybody. It doesn't matter who it is. I've learned things from the preppers. I've learned things from the survivalists. I've learned things from the victims. I've learned things from the bodies on how not to do something and what happened to them and stuff like that. So you can learn something from everybody. And that's another thing we were talking about earlier this week about being an expert in this field. There is no such thing because everything changes and everything is different. So when you see somebody who wrote a book or runs a blog, has been on TV and stuff like that, they're not an expert. They know a bit about it, but don't whatever they say is not golden. It can change in a heartbeat. That's one thing everyone's got to realize in our field. When it comes to disasters, things happen. And I commented on this one too. Mother Nature will throw you a curveball anytime she can. No, I do not believe in Mother Nature, but it's a good saying and a good way of getting people to understand. One of the other things we've had go on this week is a food safety alert we put out. And I want to go ahead and get that information to you because there were some things in it I was kind of concerned about with the food safety report the day before Christmas, the day before Valentine's Day. We're having some recalls. Zip International Group is recalling less dried salted fish or berm fish. And they're coming out of Brooklyn. This is going into a bunch of states. It's already been sent out. And they're recalling it because it can be contaminated with, I believe, E. coli. I can't see that right now. As I get older, my vision's going bad on me. Taylor Farms Retail is also making a recall for Central Market Organic Brand Organic Baby Spinach. And that one's from E. coli. And Food City is putting out an alert for the Food Club's Pineapple Tidbit Cups. And that's for salmonella. So, you know, we'll try and keep you up to date on USA Emergency Broadcasting Network. We will be broadcasting our food safety report as much as possible. And a lot of it will be the same old information that you seen yesterday. Things change a little bit, but you need to have the information as soon as possible to make your adjustments to your family plans and, you know, what kind of situational preparedness you have going on. And I want to thank all of our listeners. Our chat room is starting to liven up right now. Yes, I see you. And if you want to call in, we have a call-in line. Our call-in number is 347-539-5154. Once again, that's 347-539-5154. If you have any comments, concerns, or if you want to disagree with me, by all means, give me a call. We can talk it out on the air. Don't ever take what I say, especially on this radio program, as fact. Research everything before you believe anything. That's one of our mottos here on the network, and it should be a motto for everybody. Research everything before you believe anything. Because I could be wrong. I have got a lot of experience in this field, but I could be wrong. I mean, just ask my children. I'm wrong on everything. So that call-in line, once again, is 347-539-5154. I want to go ahead and take a little break, and I want to go ahead and play one of our followers' songs, a group called Explorer, and the title track, Explorer. Welcome back to the Common Sense Preparedness Program. On USA Emergency Network. We can also be heard on bsradio.com, preparedness.com, studio.com, iTunes. Before we talk about an announcement on some of the things we had going on this week, I want to give you guys an update on the notes that our Common Sense and USA Broadcast Rocky Network will be going to attend here in a couple of months. On March 20th, we have accepted invitation 2013 Emergency Fitness Summit in Dallas, Texas. This I personally have been invited to kind of emergency preparedness panel with Glenn Beck. So we'll be right down with Glenn Beck also. On August 2013, we will be in the Arizona Survival Show in Glendale Civic Center. I need a little alert about that. And, I will be giving a speech at one of the lecture halls. Also in April, and I don't have the dates in front of me right now, and I apologize for that, but in April, and I want to say 13th and 14th, or maybe 20th and 21st, we will be attending the 2013 Prepper Fest, Part 1, in Phoenix, Arizona. I believe that is in Scottsdale. And we will also be giving a lecture out there, and we'll have a booth. Come on out and come join us, and you'll be able to meet some of the DJs from the network. And I will be also speaking at the event. I think the biggest one we got right now is the Emergency Preparedness Summit in Dallas. That's the first one coming up this year. And that's on March 20th, and we'll be broadcasting on the Glenn Beck Show. All right. Well, today's, being February, today's National Heart Month. American Red Cross has come out, and I think the American Heart Association has come out and made February American Heart Month. So with that theme in place, I want to talk about something that's really personal to me and I have done before, and I have trained a lot of people on it. I want to talk a little bit about CPR. Valentine's Day, we all gave candies and flowers to our girls, and some of you guys were lucky enough to receive that too. But what is it really about? It's about the heart. It's about your love for somebody, your spouse, your mate. One of the biggest things I always try and bring out, especially in February around Valentine's Day, is you're talking about the heart, and you need to really think about what you're talking about with the heart. What happens if it stops? What happens if you need to give CPR? Are you prepared to give CPR? Well, one of the things I tell everybody about CPR is, you know what? It's not the first step. It's not the only step, I should say. It's only the first step in a long process. And you got to make sure, if you're going to give CPR, nowadays CPR has gotten down to the bare basics. It works. CPR works about 19% of the time. Okay? With this new regulation in 2012, they came out with a whole bunch of new stuff on it. And they slimmed it down to two things you got to remember. Call 911. You got to notify your emergency management system. Now, if you're at work, it's going to be your local emergency management system in your job place. Let them call 911, depending on your job site. A lot of it, just call 911, get your backup rolling, and begin CPR. And the only thing to CPR now is push in the center of the chest about 1.5 to 2 inches deep and push hard and fast is what they're saying. Now, there's a lot of things that go with that. So I'm going to go into a little bit about it. One, you've got to be prepared for emergencies. Before this happens, you've got to be prepared. You've got to know what to do. You've got to know where your first aid kits are kept. Especially if you're in a workplace, they're always around one of the corners. You always got to know where they're located at. And what is the emergency phone number? Is 911? Or is it a different emergency number where you work at? Maybe your house, you have to dial 9911. You know, I don't know what the phone systems are, but you have to get emergency medical services going right away. One of the biggest questions I've always had, and I still have to this day, is can I be sued for giving first aid? Well, it's not a yes or no answer. Yes, you can be sued if you do it maliciously, if you don't do it for your best intent. However, in all 50 states, we have what's called the Good Samaritan Law. And the Good Samaritan Law comes into play when you give CPR. If you respond to an emergency of your neighbor or one of your children, or you come up on a car accident scene, you fall under the Good Samaritan Law, and that protects you from lawsuits. Now, in order for you to be covered under the Good Samaritan Law, some things you have to know about. One, act only as you are trained to act. Take a basic first aid and CPR class in your neighborhood. Local fire departments give them out. American Red Cross is out there, American Heart Association. USA Emergency Broadcasting Network is also putting some out. Matter of fact, we have a class coming up here in Arizona real soon. They're relatively cheap to attend one, and it gives you a whole bunch of good information. I know for mine it does. You have to get the victim's consent before you begin CPR. That's a big one. Now, if your victim is unconscious, consent is implied. But you have to go up there and you have to ask, my name is Tim, I'm trained, can I help you? They have to say yes or no. If they're unconscious, obviously they're not going to say anything, then consent's implied. But you have to ask. Because what happens in a lawsuit is the lawyers love to go and get all the witnesses to that accident and say, did he ask to help them? And if they say, well, I never heard him, or no, he did not, then the Good Samaritan Law comes into question. So you have to make sure you ask for consent. Another thing you don't want to do is do not move the victim unnecessarily. Now, being out here in Arizona during the summertime, that roadway can get up to 300 degrees. So if you have a victim lying on the roadway, do you want to move them? Probably not. You're going to want to shade them or maybe put something underneath them, but you don't want to really necessarily move them. Because, you know, what if they have a spinal injury or something like that? That is your problems. You got to make sure you call for professional help. Call 911. And you got to keep giving care until help arrives. Now, CPR is not a five-minute thing. You're not just going to start pumping for 5 minutes and that's it. What you have to do is you have to continue CPR until EMS arrives or your 911 service arrives. And that can be a lot of minutes depending on where you're at. Some people in the city, help will be there in 15 minutes. I know the last time I gave CPR, help got there in about 45 minutes. So I actually performed CPR for 90 minutes because they already knew she was dead on me. I did not know. I was not going to give up. I reached exhaustion at 90 minutes. And if anyone's ever given CPR, CPR is really hard to do prolonged. It's not hard to do, you know, on a mannequin for 5 minutes. That's easy. But when you get into a situation where you're looking at an hour of doing CPR, now your body starts to hurt physically. So you have to be prepared for that kind of stuff. And mentally you have to be prepared for that. You know, can I do this and will I do this? If it's one of your children, by all means, you're going to do it for a year if you had to. I've heard of people given CPR up to 6 hours, and that victim survived. You know, so you want to make sure you cover those five basic points. Act only as you're trained to act, and what that comes down to, basically, a good example of that one would be, you know what? If you don't know how to give, if you've never been trained on how to give a tracheotomy, you don't give a tracheotomy. Because if you do, then you can get sued. Get the victim's consent. Ask them, can I help you? Usually most victims say yes. And don't move the victim. Call. Make sure 911 is called. And keep on giving care until help arrives. Now, when do you stop giving CPR? Two reasons. One, you're exhausted. You just cannot go on anymore. And two, if there's immediate danger. Let's say you have a victim that is trapped in a vehicle and you can't get to them or you can't get them out. Then if the car is about to catch on fire or something, your safety is in question, that's a justifiable reason to stop giving care. But they're the only two reasons you can stop giving care, if you're exhausted or if you're in immediate danger. Now, one thing I will tell you, and I've been doing this stuff for over, like I said, over 25 years. After a situation develops, after you face a disaster, it's a traumatic event. I don't care who you are. I don't care how tough you guys are, or I could face anything. It's still a traumatic event, and you might need help coping with that. And if you do, by all means, please seek out help. Talk to somebody. Talk to others. Now, don't breach confidentiality, but talk to others. Hey, I had this situation happen, blah, blah, blah. I had one situation happen. I knew the person. I didn't know I knew her until she was on the ground in front of me, and I was giving her first aid. That's how I realized I knew her, and that was traumatic. I had to talk to somebody, and I had been in there for years. I was a firefighter, but I had to talk to somebody about it. And, don't be afraid to ask for professional help if you need to. A lot of people think it's not good to talk to professionals, blah, blah, blah. You know what? If you have a traumatic event, by all means, talk to somebody. And I'm not saying a psychiatrist or anything like that. Talk to somebody who might be in the field. Talk to a friend of yours, somebody you can be you can have confidence with. Talk to your spouse. So something like that is what you really need to do. All right, it's the bottom of the hour, and we've had one computer meltdown already during this broadcast. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play a song called "The Rain Is Coming" from Matt Fitzgibbons, PatriotMusic.com. You'll notice most of our music is from PatriotMusic.com, and I remember when I first heard Matt's music, I was in the military, and it just spoke to us. It's so patriotic. And it doesn't come out and say, hey, red, white, and blue, blah, blah, blah. Some songs do, not all. But if you listen to all of his songs, he's always talking about something in the nation, something about America. And this one's called "The Rain Is Coming" from PatriotMusic.com.
Like a thousand years since we had real fears, but the old ones won't forget. These broken levee walls had a few close calls, but they haven't fallen yet. And you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming, all your days and all your nights. It brings a storm on you when the sun beats down and it bakes the ground, and you watch the rich land die. Such a vicious drought, even hope's in doubt, but there are no clouds in the sky. But you know the rain's coming, the rain. When you feel the first drop fall, when it kisses your skin, the storm will begin to bring with it promise of change. When you hear the thunder roll, the lightning begun, the flood will come to wash out the things that remain. The storm on you, because the rain comes.
USA Emergency Broadcasting Network, your source for reliable disaster preparedness information.
The 21st century seems to be one emergency after another. The 9/11 attacks, anthrax attacks, hurricanes Katrina, Hugo, and Andrew, tornadoes in the Midwest, earthquakes, and superstorm Sandy. It's not only tested us, but it's made it painfully evident that American readiness is inadequate at best, especially when it comes to communications. One of the major problems with our readiness program is the lack of communications between first responders and the general public. This was particularly evident with the 9/11 system collapse during the Washington, D.C. earthquake and the near failure of the 9/11 system during Hurricane Sandy. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Broadcasting has teamed up with other emergency organizations, both government and non-government, to create a new informational source to bring the American public reliable, verifiable emergency information. We call it USA Emergency Broadcasting Network, USAEBN.org. Common Sense Preparedness will be the flagship of this new network and will bring you the information that's needed during times of disasters. As usual, we will not talk about politics or conspiracy theories. Our focus will be on bringing you reliable, accurate information to help you prepare for and respond to any type of disaster that you might face, whether it's natural, man-made, or personal. During times of disaster, USA Emergency Broadcasting Network will operate a virtual emergency operations center in order to receive emergency information and distribute it to the general public. A live, pre-recorded radio station will also be broadcasting this information on various internet radio sites, as well as on our website, usaebn.org. For more information, visit usaebn.org.
Broadcasting Network, your source for reliable disaster preparedness information.
You've got asthma, diabetes, a heart condition. Maybe you're taking prescription medications, but now you're in a car accident. And if you're unable to communicate or just confused by the shock of being in an accident, how will EMTs or paramedics know how to treat you? Introducing the Emergency Seatbelt ID from the MediPal company. This easy-to-use ID system wraps around your seatbelt where first responders will be quick to spot it. Inside, it contains a document with all the information first responders need to take care of you immediately and appropriately. If you want first responders to know you have an ongoing medical condition, food or medication allergies, your blood type, and who to contact in the event of an emergency, then you need an emergency seatbelt ID from the MediPal company. To order one for $14.95, or for more information, please visit our website at medipal.com. That's MEDIPAL.com.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
Well, welcome back to Common Sense Preparedness, an American readiness program. You can hear us on USA Emergency Broadcasting Network, BBSRadio.com, PrepperPodcast.com, Stitcher Radio, Block Talk Radio, and iTunes. All right, before the break, we were talking about CPR and how do you perform it. Like I was talking to you earlier about, it's very simple nowadays. Call 911, in the center of the chest, press hard and firm, and you know what? Believe it or not, disco's coming back. If you do the compressions of the chest to the beat of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, it can help save a life. I know, I just said that in 2013. Disco can help save a life. Oh, my God. How many of you guys out there remember disco? All right. Not all the phone calls at once, please. But if you do want to call in, our phone number is 347-539-5154. Once again, that's 347-539-5154. And I will definitely take your questions and comments. And basically, CPR is now easy to do. You know, center the chest, do compressions an inch and a half to 2 inches deep. Now, one thing I will tell you is, from experience, that kind of depth will break bones. Not always, but sometimes. So if you hear the ribs crack, don't get scared. That's normal. I think the ribs crack, and don't quote me on the numbers here, I think they crack about 84% of the time when you do CPR. That means you're doing it right. Because you got to figure what you're doing, what are you really doing when you do a chest compression? As you're taking the breastplate and you're going through the lungs to the heart and compressing the heart against the spine. And that pushes all the blood out. And when you release, all the blood comes in. That's how you circulate the blood for somebody you're doing CPR to. So by pressing that chest bone, the breastplate, in so deep, it is a possibility that you can break ribs. And it's usually the soft cartilage on the side. It will heal. You know, I'd rather give the victim a chance to heal from broken ribs than die of a heart attack. So you have to, you know, you have to take a look at that. If you hear the bones breaking, don't panic. Nah, 84% of the time it will break. Just keep on going. And remember the beat of Staying Alive. I'm not going to play the song, or I'm not even going to try and give you the beat to it. But hard and fast to get the blood circulating. And when you do that, nowadays you don't have to breathe for the victim. Why? Because as you're doing that, you are compressing the lungs in and out. So that's breathing for a victim. Not a lot of air, but enough to sustain life. Because if you ever notice, when emergency medical services get on scene, first thing they're going to do is hook them up to oxygen, give them pure oxygen. You know, I'm not one that carries an oxygen bottle with me anywhere I go, but you know, that's what they'll do. They'll get them air, pure air, as they need it when they arrive on scene. And usually, emergency medical response times vary from place to place. Usually, if you're in the city or by a local area in a town, it's 5 to 10 minutes before they get on site. So you're going to do CPR for 5 to 10 minutes. But remember, there is certain circumstances. I know for myself, I do a lot of traveling on the road. If I see an accident, and you do see accidents almost every day, you know, if you're the first one on scene, you got to try and help out. You know, you got to ask yourself that question first of all: do I want to help out, or don't I want to help out? Me, I have no question about it. I help. I'm just trying to get the car stopped as fast as I can to get out there. Now, if I come on a scene and the police are already there, fire department's there, I'm going to go. Just keep on traveling because I can't be a use. But remember, any accident that you do see or any situation, you can always be a help some way. Now, I've been the rescuer. I've saved lives. And I've been a traffic cop where I've just sat out in the roadway just trying to get people go past the accidents instead of stopping and looking and causing more of a backup. So you could do. There's always something to do in an accident scene. So, you know, if you see an accident and you're first one on scene, try and help out somehow. So as we were talking about CPR, this being February, the Heart Month, American Heart Month, it's a good idea. Besides the chocolates, besides the candies and flowers that you give to your mate, your loved one, it's also a good time to take a CPR class and a basic first aid class, because you'll never know when you're going to need it. Now, one of the requirements, I would say, and this is my personal opinion, I'm going to admit that, is if you own a pool, you have to have, to be a proper, responsible owner of a pool, you have to have a CPR class behind you. Okay, if you have a drowning victim, and pools have drowning victims, if you have a drowning victim, it is critical to perform CPR and first aid immediately. And what I mean by critical, I have seen instances where delay of CPR meant life or death for the victim. And the victim usually, I don't know why, but children are drawn to pools. Especially when it gets hot and there's pools open, children want to see what the water will do. And the water can kill them. So if you have a pool, be a responsible owner and have at least a CPR and first aid class behind you. I'm not saying I would do it for the whole family. Now, me being a former CPR instructor, I have trained my family. This is what you do in case of choking. This is what you do in case someone stops breathing. How to call 911, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to go to that extreme, but I would highly suggest CPR classes for everybody in the household. Because, you know, my 12-year-old son might be able to do it on my 5-year-old if, you know, I'm not around. You know, and the 5-year-old went in the pool. So CPR classes and first aid classes are a basic minimum at the least. And nowadays, like I said, it's very simple. I have trained children. I have trained adults. I've trained school-age kids. And I've even trained a 4-year-old one time. As a matter of fact, my grandson, I trained him on how to do it. And he's only 5. Now, granted, all he can tell me is how to stop bleeding. But the point is, as he's raised up in that, when he does take his first class, it won't be foreign material to him. I've even trained the very old on how to do CPR because they want to know, because their husband or their wife might need it, you know, one day. And it is critical to have CPR as a minimum basic education. I don't see why they don't teach it in high school health classes. That's how important it is. And nowadays, it's just so simple, you know. So what you want to do, if you have an incident and you see you decide you're going to give help, what you want to do is remember the 3 C's: check, call, and care. First thing you want to do is check the scene. Can I render aid safely? Is it an incident where I can get injured? Now, example: if you go into see a car accident and you have a victim that's got electrical wires all over him, I might not want to touch that victim. So, I'll think about how to attack the situation as best as possible with my safety. Because the one thing I will tell you is I'm going home that night. I have a family and a wife and family I have to take care of. So I'm going home that night, no matter what happens. And that was something I've always remembered. And I put myself in some very peculiar positions as a firefighter and stuff like that. But I'm going home. So I'm going to make sure I'm going to check the scene for my safety first. Then you want to call 911. And then you want to care for the victim. And care can come in many, many ways. It could be a wide gamut of things you have to do. But CPR is easy. Center of the chest, in between the nipples, hard and fast, staying alive by the Bee Gees. And you should be able to help that victim until emergency and medical services arrive. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead right now and play another song. I know everyone's probably getting tired of my voice already. And this song is from Explorer, a band out of the East Coast, and it's called Run for Tomorrow.
Victims of their tyranny.
Well, welcome back to Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. We can be heard here on USA Emergency Broadcasting Network, bbsradio.com, prepperpodcast.com, stitcherradio.com, and iTunes, and Block Talk Radio, which you're hearing on us now. So we were talking about CPR, and I'm going to go ahead and sum this up because my time is running out. But in the last few minutes, if anyone wants to give a call, my phone number is 347-539-5154. That number is 347-539-5154. And Common Sense Preparedness is on the weekend tour of USA Emergency Broadcasting Network. So if you want to check us out, you can. Feel free to download any of the past episodes off of our Blog Talk Radio, which is blogtalkradio.com/USAEBN. Or you can go to our website at usaebn.org for more information and daily updates and stuff like that. All right, CPR. You know, very simple nowadays. Two-step process. Call 911. Press hard and fast in the center of the chest. That's all you need to know. I mean, they've gotten rid of the ABCs. They've gotten rid of the three Cs and all that kind of stuff. So if you have an incident and you have to perform CPR, you don't have to worry about kissing them on the mouth no more. Just remember the two steps. Call 911 and press hard and fast on the center of the chest. And they come out and say, to the beat of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. Now, and I guess their new tagline, yes, disco can save lives. So not my tagline, but theirs. So it's very simple. And you should know that, especially if you have elderly people in your family, if you own a pool, if you see a car accident. You know, there's things you're going to need this kind of stuff for. I highly recommend that you take a first aid class, a CPR class from your local fire department. Now, I suggest the local fire departments because a lot of times they will give it out for free just to keep their firefighters trained. So you can possibly get it for free. American Red Cross is pretty expensive on taking it. That's why we don't really promote American Red Cross. I'm not sure what the prices are for American Heart. I know the National Safety Council also does some type of CPR classes too. So there's a wide range out there. Go to the local hospitals. Find out if there's a CPR class coming up or, you know, if you can join that. Fire departments, hospitals would be the first two places I would go. Also, I've noticed this a lot lately, is the survival expos. A lot of CPR people are out there, and they're more than willing to give you their business card, and you can contact them for CPR class. So the point I'm making is it's out there. There's a lot of ways of getting trained. Please get trained. If you have any problems finding a place, by all means, contact the USA Emergency Broadcast System, and either we're giving out classes or we'll find you a place to get it from because it's that important. All right? Well, I want to thank you for tuning in to Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. And I'm going to go ahead and leave you off with a song by Matt Fitzgibbons and patriotmusic.com, and it's called Using Both Hands. Honestly, my view on gun control.
Was the world fun when you were just real snakes. If you are wrong, you say gun control
is using both hands.
Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, me, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Government fears your son. Now the new world order is real well, they're making their demand. Don't feel safe if you are wrong, you say gun control
is using both hands.
Using both hands.